Hey, it's Garen here. Inflation keeps rising. There won't be a better time than right now to replace the roof following the storm damage. Let the Shamrock team treat you to a free inspection and we'll replace the damage with the best roof at the best price. One call does it all at shamrockroofer.com.
Fires wide open down the sideline is Darrell Williams to the 29. So Darrell Williams, the last time we had these guys on a Sunday night in Las Vegas about 3 weeks ago, same thing happened. Darrell Williams was the guy who provided all of the fireworks.
All right. Breaking. Come here. Resume the mic real quick. Give a breaking programming update. Starting at 10 o'clock, people need to listen to this because what?
Well, Jason Anderson is out sick today. So it's going to be bedlam.
Okay, because Oklahoma State is coming off maybe the most devastating loss of their football lives.
We'll have to have Corey rank those.
And in studio, co-hosting the show to really poke the cowboy, Oklahoma Sooner, Todd Lebo. Must listen starting at 10 o'clock.
It's all about the Chiefs.
Just look at me and be
it's
honest.
It's all about the Chiefs.
Will you be gentle with him?
I'll be gentle.
No, you won't.
I really...
No, you won't. You know what? You shouldn't let him have it like you let me have it. When Missouri loses,
I really like Corey.
Harass me.
I really like Mick.
Workplace
and
harassment.
I texted them condolences Saturday after the game. And all I got back from Corey was cursing words.
Right. That's right. Because we see through your words...
Mick
through your lies.
I didn't text them after the game, but I texted them during the game that I didn't like their uniform combination. I usually think they have pretty cool uniform combinations.
You and Curtis Siebold in your uniforms.
They try to look like Clemson, try to beat Clemson.
They didn't play.
Adam Teicher, you know Ty Lebo very well. He'll be co-hosting The Zone. Do you think, as an Oklahoma Sooner, on a day that he finally gets his wish, Brent Venables will be named head coach, do you think he'll take it easy on the Oklahoma State Cowboy, Corey Anderson? Do you believe Todd will take the high road?
No, I don't believe that for
he
a second.
No
and, and why should he? Why
That's
should
right. he? That's right, Adam.
You always have to be nice to little brother.
Wow.
Get out of here.
Adam, so let's start. Let me hear. Let's get the venom going early.
I'm putting a shot at you, Adam, and Michigan State. I'm sorry.
Oh, wow. Now he can't say. He didn't want to come in here at all. Now we can't get him to get out of here. And so, Adam, as a Michigan State Spartan, do you say, you know, I tip my cap to Michigan, go get them in the playoffs, okay, go, or do you want them to be embarrassed by Georgia? How do you feel right now?
I want them to be embarrassed by Georgia.
There
you know,
is.
when it was pretty obvious on Sunday morning who the four teams were going to be. It was just a question of how they were going to be seeded. And I was just rooting for Michigan to play either Alabama or Georgia in the first round and not Cincinnati, because I don't want them beating this team that may or may not belong there. I think we pretty much know that Alabama and Georgia are going to deserve to be there. So Michigan's got to go through Georgia and Alabama to get there. So yeah, I'm definitely rooting against Michigan, and I'm a big SEC fan this weekend. In a couple weeks. Let's put it that way.
That's the bitter reaction that I'm looking for when discussing your hated arch rival. That's what
Doesn't
I like.
That feel kind of dirty to
that's
say you're a big
like,
SEC
though.
Fan
that's
though,
all
Adam.
Right.
If you're looking for bitterment, you come to the right place. Okay?
A tremendous amount of respect for that.
Yeah.
And I encourage everyone to tune in and listen to Todd Lebo take a bunch of cheap shots at Corey Anderson starting at 10.
We're bringing on Adam Teicher for the spite today. We want spite from Adam.
I feel the same way. I like to watch the Broncos struggle to score points. And on a night that they hold Patrick Mahomes under 200 yards, Kelce and Hill under 30 yards. The rushing attack under 100 yards. They still lose by double digits to the Chiefs. And even though the Chiefs' offense was not productive, Adam, I never felt like that game was in doubt. I never felt that the Chiefs were endangered simply because Teddy Bridgewater and that Broncos offense just simply isn't good enough. What did you think?
That's right. That's why you felt that way. And hey, you know, yeah, the Broncos aren't great offensively. That's not a very good offensive team. But you got to tip your cap to the Chiefs
right.
on defense. You know, I mean, they just sort of strangled the Broncos last night. You know, and when they held the Broncos, you know, the Broncos had that early drive, not the one that went 20 plays, but the one that ended with their first field goal. When the Chiefs held them out of the end zone there, and they had to kick that field goal, you sort of felt like, okay, that was the Broncos' shot. You know, that was their chance to really make this a game. You know, if they'd scored a touchdown there, maybe 10-7, maybe things turn out a little differently in that game. Maybe the Broncos kicked that field goal at the end of that drive, that 20-play drive, then it's 10-10, and just maybe things work out a little differently. But you're right. So I feel like, you know, just saying the Broncos stink offensively, that doesn't really capture it in my mind. I feel like the Chiefs are playing so well defensively that they had a big say in what happened in that game last night.
So two of the unlikely heroes, Ben Neiman and Daniel Sorensen, combined for the biggest defensive play of the whole game. And I saw Andy Reid said after the game, hey, everybody wanted these two guys out of town earlier this year. And then I saw a lot of people on social media saying, oh, great, now we're going to see him play 90% of the snaps again. But that's not the reality, right, Adam? And I feel like a lot of people maybe that were critical of players like Neiman and Sorensen, I don't think it was necessarily them saying those guys should never play again. It's maybe they're getting a little overexposed with how much they're playing. Have they found the right balance for how often to use players like Neiman and Sorensen to put them in a position to have success?
Yeah, and they're using those guys maybe the way they should be, the way they should have when the season started. You know, they should have been using them all along, and that was kind of the, you know, I think the Chiefs, you know, and they just see black and white. They don't really see the nuances, and there were a lot of people who were, including myself and probably you guys as well, who were saying, listen, there's some value in Dan Sorensen, and didn't necessarily think he should be run out of town, but don't play him 100 snaps, you know, 100% of the snaps. You know, he's a situational player, not an every down guy, because teams were picking on him as an every down guy, and now the Chiefs have seemed to found the sweet finding the sweet spot with him in particular, and playing to his strengths, and to Ben Neiman too. I mean, when he's in there, he's rushing the quarterback a lot. They like him as a pass rusher when they come after the quarterback. So you know, it's all working out, man. It's really hard to believe that I predicted this at halftime of the Tennessee game. I sent out a tweet. Somehow it got deleted, but I said the Chiefs are going to turn this around defensively and become one of the better defensive teams in the league. So, yeah. I don't know what happened to that tweet.
Hey.
So you guys must have hacked me and deleted the tweet.
You've been hacked. I believe you. Believe you wholeheartedly because I retweeted it and commented, I agree. So Adam, when the people I was around with the minute and nine left when the Chiefs were very conservative before halftime, they were furious. And I just had this, like, automatic reaction now since Mahomes has been quarterback, you know, fourth down, go for it. And I don't even look at the game situation. But as people were booing and yelling, I'm thinking, you know, it feels like Andy Reid just, you know, up 10-3, he's thinking, this Denver offense against our defense, they're not going to be able to score enough points to win this game. And the only way maybe they could is if we do something goofy here. And look, balls seem to bounce off receivers' hands into the waiting arms of the defenders a little too often for my tastes. And so the only way the Denver's going to win this game is if you hand them some points. And so when this was happening in real time, were you thinking, whoa, what are the Chiefs doing here? Be aggressive. Or did you understand? Did they, okay, this is the right move. Just get into halftime and don't give the Denver Broncos any freebies.
Yeah, no, I wasn't as upset as a lot of the Chiefs fans were. I didn't think that was a bad decision. I mean, he's coaching to the new reality here. And the new reality is the Chiefs, at least for now, are a defensive team. And, you know, the Broncos are, you know, not a high-powered offense. You know, why give them another shot? You know, why give them another shot? Why give them the ball back? Although the Chiefs ended up, they did end up giving the ball back there before halftime, but it didn't hurt them. But why give them the ball back? The Chiefs didn't, they don't need to run up a big number of points to beat the Broncos. So, no, I mean, I can see the argument that, yeah, that, you know, maybe they should have gone for it, but I don't have a problem with the decision he made. You know, you always want your coach to coach to the to the reality at hand. And the reality at hand is this offense is not working right. It's not what we remember it to be. So just to think, well, if they would have gone for it, they would have scored like they would have last year, the year before that, is faulty. I mean, the chances of something bad happening were probably better than something good happening in that situation. So with a 10-3 lead, getting the ball to start the second half, I don't have a problem with what he did. Even if it hadn't worked out for him, I don't have a problem because he's coaching to the situation at hand now.
There's a chicken and egg thing there, isn't there? Because I keep watching these games wondering how much of the offensive lack of explosion is because they're coaching more conservatively on offense, and how much of it is there? How much of them coaching conservatively? Are they coaching conservatively because they're not playing as well on offense, or are they not playing as well on offense because they're coaching conservatively? And do you think it's a little bit of both?
No, I think it's more that they're just not playing well. I mean, the Chiefs receivers have had a bad game for two straight games now. I mean, they dropped the Cowboys game was almost identical to what we saw from the receivers. A bunch of drop passes, a pass that got deflected and went to the opponent for an interception. And Mahomes keeps diving on the grenades and saying, I've got to put the ball in better spots. You know what? Those are passes NFL receivers should catch, and they're not bailing him out. They are not helping him whatsoever. And, it's becoming a real problem for the Chiefs right now as their receivers are playing horribly. It's just they're not. When was the last time a Chiefs receiver made a really difficult catch that you say, okay, they bailed Mahomes out on that one? Those plays have been very few the last few weeks. And the other plays where they've really let him down and not doing him any favors at all, those have been many the last few weeks. So, it's all spread around. Last against the Cowboys, it was Josh Gordon, it was Hardman, it was Kelsey, and last night it was Pringle and Tyreek Hill. And Kelsey again. So, they've got an issue there. I mean, that's the biggest problem. If their receivers start playing like they did last year, I think this offense perks up a little bit. I think things change a little bit. But right now, it seems like it's 50-50. Mahomes puts the ball where he's supposed to put it. And, maybe they catch the ball and maybe they don't.
They're going to ride with Kelsey and Hill no matter what, even with the lack of production. But that next spot is the one we keep talking about. And I kept saying recently, I'd like to see Byron Pringle get more of those opportunities. And he goes out and he drops two yesterday. And what do you do if you're Andy Reid in that regard? Like I said, you're going to stick with Hill and Kelsey no matter how many drops they've had because they've got this long, extended track record and otherworldly game-playing or game-breaking potential. What do you do with that next spot, though? Do you just keep running Pringle out there and hope he figures it out? Do you keep rotating guys? How is he going to handle that?
Yeah, well, you need to keep rotating guys and see if anybody steps up. Maybe it's Josh Gordon, although at this point I wouldn't think so. Maybe it's Pringle. Maybe it's DeMarcus Robinson. I don't think it's going to be Hardman at this point. You have no choice. These are your guys, and you've got to go with what you got. And So we'll see where this is headed. But, that's, to me, the biggest single issue with the Chiefs offensively right now is their receivers are not playing well. They're really dragging this whole thing down. And they looked like they were on their way to scoring again last night when, Hill tipped that pass to Pat Surtain. So, it's just one of those things where they've got to get this thing. These things have to turn around. I mean, it's great for Mahomes to dive on the grenade here, but it's not on him. It's on those receivers not making those plays. And so that's the biggest question. That's the biggest part of this execution thing that we're talking about. It's just not working right for them.
Well, the third best option has emerged. This is not anyone that we guessed. It's Darrell Williams.
Yeah.
Right? Yep. And with Clyde back, it's the combination of both because that was six catches for 88 yards yesterday between the two. And I know, again, it's not a downfield threat, but I like when they throw to the running backs. And Darrell Williams has proved to be a very valuable weapon in the passing game. And so that's what it's turned into, right?
Yeah. Yeah, and you say it's not a downfield threat, but the two biggest plays
right.
that they had last night were one by Darrell Williams and one by Clyde Edwards-Helaire. So, yeah, that's a place where the Chiefs can grow their offense. I mean, Mahomes last night was 6 of 6 when he threw to those guys, to Darrell Williams and Clyde Edwards-Helaire. He was 9 of 23 when he threw to for 96 yards with an interception and a bunch of drop balls when he threw it to everybody else. He was 6 of 6 for 88 when he threw it to those guys, the running backs. So that tells you a little something right there. I mean, it's not always going to be like that. But right now, those are the guys who are making plays for them as receivers. And why wouldn't you continue to feed them until that changes?
So, Adam, as we look at the big picture now, despite these offensive struggles, the Chiefs are right there in position to actually try to get a number one seed. And I'm curious how you handicap the AFC now that there's this big jumble of 8 and 4 teams.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's almost impossible to say, hey, this is what's going to happen, because there's been so many twists and turns to this season. I mean, every one of these teams, is one time or another, has shown some considerable weakness. So, you know, what's it going to be like over the last 5 weeks? I mean, right now you have to like the Chiefs and New England probably better than anybody else. And, you know, certainly in the case of the Chiefs, and New England fits in this category as well. At least you can say this for those teams. They haven't lost to bad teams yet this year. So I think that means you can maybe trust them a little more in the playoffs against good teams. So I feel like maybe the Chiefs and New England right now are the teams you look at, but going to be interesting to see how this all shakes out. I mean, you know, 5 weeks ago we were thinking, wow, it'd be, you know, it's going to be a lot for the Chiefs just to make the playoffs, much less be in the race for the number one seed. But here we are, and you know, it's just amazing when I reflect on it. Last night was the Chiefs' 5th straight win, right? They've had a winning streak of at least 5 games in all of Andy Reid's 9 seasons. I mean, that to me, think about where it's almost ancient history now, or it seems like it, but think of where the Chiefs were when they hired Andy Reid, you know, and we're saying this now, 9 years later, that they have an NFL record of a 5-game winning streak in at least 9 seasons. I mean, that's just really a testament to what's gone on here. And it's just amazing how this season has produced one of those streaks as well.
We have Adam Teicher on the line. And, Adam, you talked about the Patriots and how hot they are with 6 wins in a row. And tonight we get a chance to see them at Buffalo. And the amazing thing about New England and – all these losses happened in the first part of the season, but all of their losses are at home. They're 5-0 on the road, and they play at Buffalo tonight. And so you tell me, who's going to win this game tonight, New England at Buffalo?
Yeah, well, the Bills have just been too up and down for my taste. I mean, I think in the end, maybe they're the better team, but they're not playing like it every week, certainly not every week. So, I kind of like New England to win this game. I mean, this is the game that the kind of game that Bill Belichick has made his career on, and so I like the Patriots. I think they're going to win this game. And if you're a Chiefs fan, you know, what do you do? Who do you root for? I think you root for the Bills. I know the Chiefs lost to the Bills, but somebody's going to have to derail this New England train here for the Chiefs to get that number one seed. I feel like there's going to be some up and down with the Bills, like there's been all year. So if you're a Chiefs fan, I think maybe you want to see the Bills win this game. The Bills go to Tampa. I think it's next week. So they've got some game that they got to play. They have to go back to New England later on in the season. So not an easy schedule for the Bills. So I feel like there's going to be some losses there for Buffalo. So I think it's probably better for the Chiefs that the Bills win this game.
All right. Up next for the Chiefs, the Raiders. And I think they surprised some people, surprised me when they won on Thanksgiving against Dallas. But then they lose to Washington, and they slip to 6-6. So it really feels like this is their last stand coming to Arrowhead Stadium. They fall to 6-7, and considering everything they've gone through, boy, I don't know if they'll be able to overcome that. And so what do you expect from the Raiders when they come into Arrowhead on Sunday?
Yeah, it does sort of feel like they're playing to save their season at this point, because going to be tough. They won't win the division if they don't beat the Chiefs, and they won't. They're probably out of the realistic wild card race if they don't win this game. So, I think there's probably going to be that mentality in the Vegas locker room that they're playing for their season. But I just don't know. The way the Chiefs are playing defensively right now, I don't know if they've got they've got enough over there. You know, losing Henry Ruggs really set them back, and so it's a struggle for them right now. We saw that yesterday against Washington, and there's no reason to think they're going to put up a big number against the Chiefs as well.
Adam Teicher has been our guest. Adam, thank you so much for the time, sir. We'll talk to you next week.
Good stuff, guys. Talk to you then.
That's Adam Teicher from ESPN, covers the Chiefs and appears on the Border Patrol every Monday right here on Sports Radio 810 WHB.